It really is a simple question. Is he worthy? And it's a simple answer. He is. Of everything that we are, everything that we hope to be, every thought and every action and every deed, every resource, every part of our being is worthy. He is worthy for us to pour that. He's worthy of so much more. I don't know why. For some reason, this week, every time I would hear that song, if you're not aware, Matt puts out is eastworship.org. Is that right? On eastworship.org, that's a website. If you don't know what a .org is, it won't help you much. All the songs we're going to sing on the Sunday morning, and I always try to go and listen to those. And so I've listened to that one probably a dozen times this week. And just last night I listened to it and cried, and this morning I listened to it and cried. And then I try not to cry while I'm getting ready to come up and preach, just because he is worthy. He's worthy. And so I want you to understand that we are called to flesh out and to live out our lives in worship in every way to this Savior that is saved. This word Hosanna that you were singing in that song right before the offertory, it means Savior to save, but it became an acclamation of praise to God in scriptural times. It was their praise the Lord or hallelujah or amen. It was kind of a Pentecostal phrase almost, you know, just he's worthy, just don't even know what to say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord. As Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, they cried out, Hosanna, Savior, the one who saves. And we cry that out, I pray we cry that out with our lives every day. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday nights. If you come back in the middle of the week, we have a ton of things that go on Wednesday nights, but every morning when we rise up out of our beds, our lips should cry out, he is worthy, how great thou art, Hosanna, all of these things, he is worthy of these praises. This morning I want to take a brief time and just talk through what I believe is the description of a healthy church member, and I want to go back to Acts chapter 2. You say, we already preached this a few weeks ago. Well, most of you won't remember anyway. Some of you were not here, and maybe I can preach it a little better now than I did then, all right? And so I want us to just look at this real briefly, and then I want us to respond to this word in a real way with a hope that our lives would cry out what we think about Jesus and that he is worthy. That song was supposed to be our third song this morning, but I don't do this a lot, do I, Matt? How many times have I asked you anything specific? I really want God to tell you what to do, not me. But I just wanted it right before my sermon because it cries my heart. It cries out my heart. I've been to 4 funerals in the last 8 days. And Joy did a funeral yesterday in the Schwartz area, First Baptist Schwartz, of a young 18-year-old. I've got a funeral at the church today that I've got to go to and help participate in. And life is short. Some of these lived in their 80s. Some of these lived in their 60s, 18-year-old. Life is fragile. Life is short. Even if you get to live to be 100, we all realize if you get past 40, you know 100 is not all that long. It seems like forever before then, but it's just not that long. This life is short. How we're going to live it, there's an urgency we should have that unless people come to know this Jesus that we claim to know, they will perish and be separated from him for not 100 years, not 1,000 years, but for all of eternity. If we really believe the gospel's true, it ought to change everything. And for the early church, it was. And they're brand new. They're just starting out. They hadn't had time to fight about anything yet. All they knew was they saw Jesus crucified, Jesus buried, and the next thing they know, he was alive again. And they said, something is going on here. And Jesus walked with them and taught them. And then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But before he did, he gave them a promise and a mission. The promise was this: you will receive the Holy Spirit, and he will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And here's the mission: in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then on Acts 2, very quickly, just a few days after that promise, the Holy Spirit fell on that church. That first church gathered in Jerusalem, about 120 there in the upper room is what we see in Scripture. Peter, who was just kind of thrust out by the Holy Spirit of God to be the leader, began to preach the gospel. Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected. And the Bible says 3,000 souls were saved that day and added to them. Verse 41 of Acts chapter 2 is what it says. This is not part of my main passage, but it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? To the church that was brand new, that had just been born at Pentecost, that Jesus himself had said in Matthew 16 that he had established and that he would build upon the rock of the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. And the church was birthed, and then the church began to spread and to plant other churches in other regions, to where when you begin to read the rest of the New Testament, normally when you see something describing the church, it's describing, by the time we get to the latter letters of the New Testament, a local gathered body of believers, ecclesia, called out ones, gathered. You can't do church right unless you're together. And it's not a building. It's not a campus. It's people. The body of Christ is not made up of our student building and our sanctuary and our gym. All these things are blessing and tools that God has given us to use for the work of the gospel. But the body is made up of you and you and you and you and you and you. This, how many ever hundreds of yous and me. And they had seen this. And all they knew was that it was real and that it was worthy of their everything, and that eventually it would be worthy of them laying down their very physical lives. And Luke goes on to describe in 42 through 47 what I believe is one of the earliest, it is the earliest, and one of the best descriptions of what it should be like in the body of Christ. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, and they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. The word there is in the present active participle. It carries the idea of this is not a one-time action. It's continually day by day. You'll even see that language later in the text. Day by day. Not Sunday, not Wednesday, not occasionally. Day by day by day by day. They were doing things and God was doing things. Together as the body. And they devoted themselves, I believe, those three primary things they devoted themselves to continually. The apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. We love God. You're going to hear these things, right? I told you all year, right? You're going to hear them. We love God by knowing him through his word. A healthy church member, a part of the body of Christ, is a group of individuals and families bonded together, baptized in the name of Jesus to broadcast the gospel. So everything we do is for the purpose of us knowing God better and knowing Christ better and to tell the world about this Jesus that we serve. And we love God by knowing him through his word, daily time in the word. I will ask you this question. I will not make you answer it out loud. But when is the last time, except on Sunday morning, that you even opened up your Bible or your phone or your iPad and read God's word? Is he worthy? Amen. Then I believe a great way to do this, to devote ourselves to the apostles. What is the apostles' teaching? It's the gospel. What is the apostles' teaching? We have the finished canon of the word of God. The precious, inerrant, inspired, infallible, God's love letter to us, and yet we neglect it. We cannot neglect this if we're to be right and healthy with God. So individual time, but also I believe weekly time to study with others. You've got to connect somewhere. You've got to connect with other believers in some real way than just coming in and sitting in a service and then walking out and that's all you get. Listen, I want you to come, and if that's all you do, we're going to love on you the best we can, but we won't know you. We won't share your struggles with you. We won't be able to come in and encourage you. We won't be able to come in and challenge you. You won't be able to help us much. But when we really connect, I would encourage you in a small group, whether it's one of our Sunday school hours on Sunday morning at 8:30 and 9:30 and 11, there's different Sunday school classes. You can get information about that in the cafe or online. Find you somewhere to connect in a real way. Or we're starting some life groups in homes. There's some test groups going to start this spring very soon. And then in the fall, we hope they'll start even more. Or if it's Wednesday night, we've got a great men's group on Wednesday night that meets. We've got a couple ladies' Bible study that meet. We've got some guy that does something in the sanctuary. We connect on a little smaller level. But I'm telling you, somewhere in that level where you can be real instead of just sitting there and listening, where we can grow together. You need to grow in Christ. I need to grow in Christ. We need to grow. Love God by knowing Him through His words. We make disciples through teaching and growing. We need to know so that we can fulfill the Great Commission, which includes Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is our mission? It's to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and teaching them everything Jesus had commanded His followers. That takes a lot of learning on our part. We're all kind of player coaches. We don't all have it figured out yet. We're still learning, but we're helping others learn, and they're helping us learn. There's things you can teach me, and there's things I can teach you. The apostles' teaching. They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The fellowship. We love people by spending time together with the family of God. You see this language through the whole text, the Lord's Supper and a fellowship. And when they talk about breaking and bread in the New Testament, I believe they were Baptist and they had a lot of potlucks. I really do. I think they had a whole meal. But then at the end, they would end it by partaking of what we would call the Lord's Supper. Some of y'all don't know this. I took the Lord's Supper with you guys a long time before I ever even knew I'd even think I'd be your pastor. I was here when the Lord's Supper was served one Sunday. But I wasn't a part of this fellowship, so it didn't mean very much to me. It was kind of an interesting day, but it didn't mean much to me. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's okay. But now, when we take the Lord's Supper as a family, it means something because this is my church family. When we share a fellowship meal together like we did last Palm Sunday and last Thanksgiving, and we're going to do again this Palm Sunday, we'll have our Easter egg hunt, but then it's not just for families with children. I hope I have to stand and eat my hot dog on Palm Sunday because I want to hang out with you people. Why? Because you're my family. I wish I could spend time talking 30 minutes with every one of you on Sunday, but it's just not going to happen. I don't think I'm going to spend 30 minutes talking with any of you on Sunday except Carol Ann, maybe, unless it's just an emergency or you just desperately need it. There's a lot going on Sundays. Have y'all noticed? I have a hard time just even figuring out who's actually here. So if you haven't been here in a month and I missed you, it's just because it's easy to miss people around here. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so if we don't connect in a real way, if we don't fellowship in a real way, they enjoyed being together. They ate a lot together. You see this language all through the book of Acts. They broke bread and they were together. Verse 42, the breaking of bread. Verse 44, they were together. They had all things in common. They were family. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were, I'll get back to verse 45 in a moment. And day by day, they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in homes. It says, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They enjoyed being with one another. They enjoyed being together. Acts 27, on the first day of the week, when they were gathered together to break bread, Paul taught with them, and they didn't really even care how long it took. They were excited. They didn't look at their watches much. They were excited. One day, Paul started speaking, intended to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Y'all remember that? We're going to get to Acts 20. That's when the dude fell out of the window because he fell asleep during Paul's sermon. That's why we don't want anybody sitting on the balcony rails while I'm preaching, all right? I don't want anybody sitting on the balcony rails at all. It's dangerous enough in the balcony just walking, amen? Y'all right up there? Be careful. Watch your step. That little gap behind the pew is taking a few people down through the months and time that I've been here. But they enjoyed being together. They had all things in common. All who believed, they loved God, they loved people, they sought the lost, they made disciples. Verse 46, they had all things. Verse 45, and they were selling the possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They took care of one another. This wasn't mandatory that they sell all the possessions, but they so believed in what God was doing that earthly things really didn't matter all that much anymore. and that the cause was greater than anything they had ever sought after, and it was worthy of all their resources. I think they probably had a pretty strong, they thought Christ was going to return very quickly, so they had a great sense of urgency. Can I just tell you this? I don't know when Christ is going to return. If I told you I knew when Christ would return, you should stop listening, because that's a preacher that is nonsense. All these predictions, you just need to dismiss those. How many times was the world supposed to end in the last 10 years? But it is going to end one day. This creation is going to burn away and there's going to be a new creation. But here's the reality. Here's the absolute truth. We all are going to meet Jesus. Everyone in this room, somewhere between now and 100 years, we're going to meet Jesus face to face. Whether he comes to get us or we go to where he is, we're going to meet Jesus face to face. So we should have some urgency. Everyone who is breathing air right now, their time is short. In the relativeness of time, of 100 years and eternity, everyone who is breathing today, it is an urgent message that they hear that Jesus died for them, that he was buried for them to pay the price for their sins, and that he rose to give them victory over sin, death, and the grave. So it's worthy of all of our resources. They enjoyed being together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. They knew that they could not do it in their own power. And then verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They sought the lost. The Lord added to their number. Acts 2:41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Acts 4:4, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Acts 5:14, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Acts 16:5, so the church was strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. I have a little bit of an advantage on most of you in that people will come into my office and ask me how they can be saved. Or they will call me on the phone and say, preacher, my child has accepted Christ. Can you make sure they understand the gospel? I have opportunities to share the gospel that you don't necessarily have. And sometimes it's like I'm fishing on a guided trip instead of on somebody's pond. And, you know, I like catching more than I do fishing. You know what I'm saying? Any fishermen in the building or fishing ladies, I like catching. If I'm fishing for an hour and nothing bites, I don't enjoy that. Some of y'all just enjoy being out there. I'm too ADD for that. All right, that doesn't really appeal to me. But you take me down to where one of our church members took my children down to the Moravian catfish pond, I would enjoy that. It would be expensive, like it was for him, but praise the Lord, I would enjoy that. Or like our deacons paid for a guided fishing trip for my staff and I, my pastors, and K-Mac and Jason and Joy and myself. We went down, and I'm talking about, I don't remember if it was the first cast, but Brother Matt, it was real quick. There was something hanging on to my hook, and I was like, this is not bad. Then the rain came and it wasn't quite as good, but then it got sunny and I got sunburned. It was a fun day. I like catching. So I get a lot of opportunities where it's more like catching than it is fishing when it comes to the gospel. But can I just tell you this? When it comes to the gospel, I still enjoy fishing. And when God gives me an opportunity, if somebody will stand still long enough, I will try to share the gospel with them. Joy will run them down and tackle them and share the gospel. I will try to share the gospel if they will stand still long enough. And if you've been around Joy at all, you know what I'm talking about. It was an urgent message. They were seeking the lost. God added to them daily those who were being saved. What were they doing? They were going about the task of becoming and making disciples. They were ministering to and with one another. And they were sharing the message with whoever would listen. Why? Because he is worthy. And it is an urgent message. And if we really believe what we say we believe, if we really believe that the Bible says, and I believe it does, that the only way to be made right with God is through Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, it ought to penetrate every area of our life. And I believe the Bible shows that the way we flesh that out is mostly, not only, but mostly through his local church with the body of Christ. This is the only institution that Jesus has established really for the good of those who are not its members, like Brother Jimmy said last Sunday. We have a mission, and we can't accomplish this mission if it's just the pastors, if it's just the 10% that's doing 90% of the labor. I've got some laborers that are getting tired. I've got some laborers that if it doesn't change, they're going to be burned out. They're going to be frustrated. It takes the whole body. I promise you, I've got a staff that I believe we could make an incredible impact in Vernon Parish if we're the only ones that do the work. I've got three pastors and some church members that most any church in Vernon Baptist Association would love to have as their pastor. We have giftedness that God has given us that is already doing some incredible things. But I just want you to think about this for a moment. What if somewhere around 1,200 members? Now, the reality is the CIA might could not find about 200 of them, but there's somewhere around 1,200 actual members, not including many of you people that just keep showing up more than a lot of members do, but for some reason you haven't connected with us yet in a covenant membership. That's fine. You'll still be welcome. We love you. But 1,200 members, what if we all did what God had called us to do? What if we all looked around ourselves every day and noticed that there's people that desperately need to see the love of Jesus? What if we all lived our lives in a way that glorified him because he is worthy? Some of you folks have places of influence that I will never get into the way you can get into them in your workplaces. I think we have nearly every basketball coach in the parish attends our church, it seems like. The influence you have, and I'm watching many of you are already doing this. Many of you are already trying to use your place as a position. But what if we all, as part of the body of Christ that penetrates our region day by day, every day. Look what I say, day by day they were together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, that people would recognize. I don't know about all that Christianity, but all I know is those people at East, they love God, they love people, they care about the lost, and they're making disciples. And they might even know what it means to make disciples, but they could see something is different. That's my goal, that's my heart, that's my desire. That's what he's worthy of. They spent time with Jesus individually and together. They attended large worship gatherings. That's part of it. This is part of it. This is not like we shouldn't do this, but this is part of it. But we don't do it just to sit and not do anything about it. We come here to be encouraged and challenged, to expect that God's going to show up, and then we go out into a world that needs to see. They gave the resources, and they served with humility. How do you do this? You've got to hear me in this. It is not a do better message. We can't do this except in the power of the Holy Spirit. The curriculum that we're going to use in some of our home groups, I've been going through that in my quiet time because I'm going to read it before y'all go through it, right? And there was an illustration in there about an elephant and a mouse were walking over kind of a rinky-dink bridge. And every step they would take, the elephant and the mouse, the elephant's just walking on, and man, that bridge is shaking, and the mouse is just keeping up because he's scared it's not going to make it, and that bridge is just shaking. It's one of these, you know, swinging bridges or whatever, and every step, it's just that bridge is just shaking. They get to the other side, and the mouse looks at the elephant and says, man, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? That's kind of how it's going to be if we really shake this community for the gospel. It'll be Jesus doing it. But oh, don't you want to be walking right beside him when it happens and see what he has in store? It's an urgent message. So here's my invitation. I got three favors to ask you. Well, I don't know if it's favors. Because I promise you, and I don't know if I can say what I said in staff meeting or not. Praise the Lord. All right, I want you to know this. I want you to hear this, and I want you to know I am growing more and more every day in my love for each and every one of you. But in this what I'm about to share with you, I will tell you that it does not make sense to me. For someone who understands the gospel, admits that they need Jesus, understands what Jesus has done for them, that there's not a heart that at least is ready to do whatever God would ask him or her to do. And so when you came in, you should have received with your bulletin a family information sheet. And here's I have an incredible responsibility, along with a great team and deacons and small group leaders that many are already helping me in this process. But I will stand before Jesus one day, and I will give an account of every single one of you and how I shepherd you in the gospel. I carry that weight, hear me, in a real way, every day, that would crush me except for Jesus. So for some of you, I need to know who you are. Some of you, I still don't know your names. You say, you expect to know every name in these hundreds of folks? I want to try to know every name in these hundreds of folks. Right, Taylor? Praise the Lord. I've called her different names 15 times. I'm going to get it right before she graduates college. I've got 5 or 6 years, I guess, you know. I'm going to get it right one day. Why? Because I do. I care. I'm getting old and losing my memory, it seems like, but I care. So I want you to fill that out. One per family. Fill out that family information sheet. But what you're going to find next is, I don't know, how many boxes are there, Ms. Frieda? Did you count them? There's a bunch of boxes. And every one is a place to connect or to minister. And I want you to read the instructions. I want you to say, please check the following areas where you are serving or would like more information about serving. Because you say, preacher, you expect everybody to serve somewhere? Yes. Yes. I do. Why? Because he's worthy. Some of you say, well, I'm old. I don't know if I can do anything. You can pray. Most of you can still rock a baby. Right? We need some folks to rock some babies. Amen? Now, if you're 90, you're still going to have to go through your background check, and we're going to check your criminal record. You say you don't trust 90-year-olds? There's some 90-year-old criminals out there. Amen? All right? We're going to take the steps we need to take, but there's all kinds of places. Evangelism and missions. Can I just tell you, you have seen nothing yet about what we're going to do to try to reach this community with the gospel, and when we start it, we're going to need everybody doing their part. There's already some incredible things that have already been going on. And we're not going to just start something to start something. But I'm telling you, I didn't come here to waste my last 20 years, 25 years in full-time pastoral ministry. I'm going to be tired when this is over. I'm tired most days. But it's going to be worth it. Why? Because he's worthy. Outreach ministries, you see a lot of things are going to, CIA, we have a group that meets every Monday that goes out and just loves on people, shares the love of Jesus. If you don't know what that is, you at least need to know what that is so you can pray for them. A lot of you are at work at 10 on Mondays. I promise you, you go to them and say, hey, I can't come at 10 on Mondays, but I'd love to visit some of the people you're visiting, kind of pick up some of that slack. I bet you they will give you some names that you can go and check on. Beyond Our Walls and The Big Give, you'll see those things. If you don't know what those are, you can ask for information. We'll get you there. Military ministry, our welcome teams, greeters, and parking lot, we need more and more people. The cafe, if you notice, every Sunday, K-Mac kind of points our guests to the cafe. We need people to work in there. We need to be reworking that, making it more welcoming, and making sure there's people there to greet all of our guests. Prayer ministry, we have a prayer chapel. Some of y'all don't even know we have a prayer chapel out back between the buildings. That's where a lot of folks go and gather and just pray. Can I tell you this? We don't see anything happen if we're not a praying people. I will tell you, you don't have to go into prayer chapel to pray for what's happening here, but you can, and it's worthy. And so there's opportunity for that. Our email prayer chain, our music ministry. Now, here's the deal. If you can't sing, we're probably not going to put you in front of everybody singing, all right? You actually have to try out, right, Matt? I hear there's like a list of about 15 things. You got to be saved. You got to love Jesus. You got to tie 15%, right? No, I'm just messing. So in our music ministry, we need help. When we have the same two or three people running the sound and the media, if we get this renovation done before Jesus comes, we'll have video capability. We need cameramen. Can I just tell you, we need camera people because they need to be able to move the camera because I'm not standing still, all right? There's all places you can, the building and grounds. We got one or two folks that plant every flower you see on this campus. They need help there. There's places that you can jump in. We've got folks that help with baptism, but every once in a while they might want to see a baptism from the front instead of the back. Amen? And so there's just places there. Our preschool ministry and children's ministry, they need 6,000 volunteers by tomorrow. And they may be caught up, all right? And so just see all the places you can plug in there. And even where it says teacher, can I just give you this? To be a children's teacher or a preschool teacher in our children's ministry is one of the easiest places in all the country. They prepare the material for you. They lay it out. You actually could just show up and not even have seen it yet. Some people do, right? It's 3-year-olds. You can tell a 3-year-old a Bible story. You're able to do this. And so just look through there. Wednesday evenings, our special events, vacation Bible school and camps and Easter egg hunt and fall fest and our youth ministry, you see it there, our college ministry, small groups. You need that. Why would I want you serving? Because one of the greatest ways to connect together is to serve together. How many of you ladies were at the soup distribution yesterday? Made soup or carried soup or washed soup, or not washed soup, washed the soup pans, all right? I saw the pictures. There was a bunch of soup yesterday that went out to our shut-ins. You blessed those shut-ins. But you were blessed as well. One lady just said, it was good. Amen. Together. Laboring together. We got a team going to Zambia. I promise you, it will change their lives, but that team will be closer together than they were when they left. Our team that went to Olean, they didn't know some of them. When they got back, they knew each other better. They loved one another more deeply, serving together. Then there's a spot right at the bottom at the back. I would like someone to help me discern the best place for me to serve. I promise you, we will take time to help you do that. What do you need to do? Will you fill this out for me? Let this be your invitation today. I've had friends that do something like this, have you come put it on the altar. Listen, it's between you and God. I want to know who you are. I want to help you find a place to serve. Some of you don't need to add anything. Some of you may need to be praying, Lord, I'm serving in 15 places. What are the top 3 you would really have me to pour myself into? That's fine. Some of you need to make that decision because you're burning out. You say, well, if I don't do it, it won't be done. Listen, maybe it just takes somebody opening up that opportunity. Maybe it just doesn't need to be done right now if it's going to cause you not to enjoy and flourish in your service of God. Is he worthy? Listen, some of you need to connect and that you've been coming, you've been sitting, but you need to say, this is, God's told you, God's spoken. Listen, if I can talk you into this, it's not worth having. But if God is drawing you or your family, that this is where he wants you to be as part of the family of God, then I think in a real way, you need to commit to that. And if he's not, then you need to find the church where he wants you to plug in a real way. You don't need to be drifters. Church hoppers. There's no help there. And I don't need anybody else's sheep. I don't want to steal anybody else's sheep. God's going to bring us sheep. We're going to have sheep, all right? But if God's calling you here, now listen, if you're mad at somebody somewhere else, I promise you within about a month, I'll make you mad. Probably with something. You're just going to, because if you leave somewhere mad and you never get unmad, you're still mad. You just don't recognize it as much and then you get mad about something else. But if God's calling you here, we won't be the church God wants us to be if God's called you here to be a part of it until you're a part of it. So plug in. Make that step. Some of you military folks, listen, I'm learning, and I know you're only going to be here 18 months, 24 months, 36 months. Can I just tell you something? It's worth connecting together, and let's do this thing together until God sends you somewhere else, and we'll keep praying for you. You keep praying for us. It'll help our missions budget. We're sending missionaries and the army's paying for it. I love the idea. I want it to hurt. I want it to hurt a little bit when you guys leave because I've grown to love you in a real way. I know in some ways it'd be easier just kind of stay at your distance, but I'm asking you, we need you guys. You're not our military families. You're part of the family. You're East. As long as God gives you to us, we want to embrace you fully and you embrace us fully, and let's impact this community as much as we can and then see what God does with the remnants that he sends out all over the world, literally. connect, serve. Why? Because he is worthy. Will you pray with me? Lord, I confess before you and these people that I don't have all the answers. There's so many moving pieces to this body that we call East Leesville Baptist Church that I'm figuring out and begging for wisdom and asking you to lead and guide and direct. Lord, I know that you have called us to reach the nations. You have given us a mission, but how we do that best is still something that I will probably spend the rest of my days trying to figure out with our team and with our leaders and with this whole body what that looks like. But Lord, I know that part of what it looks like when it's healthy, when it's strong, is all of us serving together, chasing after you with all we've got, filled with your Holy Spirit and your power to be salt and light to a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. Lord, and honestly, if we're just real, that we need to be reminded and ministered to by your heart and by one another as we walk through this tough journey called life. Lord, I pray for everyone in this building today and every time we gather that we wouldn't just go through this journey just barely on the fringes of what it means to be a part of this family, but that we would determine in our hearts, not because of East Leesville, not because of Pastor Tommy, not because of any other reason, but because you are worthy and this is the church family you've called us to be a part of. Stir us, Lord, we pray. Those that need to make the step to connect with our body, draw them to that decision. Those in a crowd this size, there's many, there's probably dozens that it's not church membership they need whatsoever. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. They can't do these things because they've never been redeemed by the gospel. They know that things aren't right. They know that things aren't where they should be. They know in their heart of hearts they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. And Lord, today that could change. Draw them to yourself. It's not going to be what it could be without you in it. It just can't. Lord, we cry out as a body, we need you. We need you. But Lord, you've shown us we need each other. The mission is urgent. Show us where you would have us to connect in a real way, to be about the mission, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.